Thank you, guys. Mark chapter number 9 tonight. Mark chapter number 9. And when you found that, get Luke chapter number 22. I don't think it is either. Am I on up there, Brother James? I am. Just ain't nothing coming out. Mark chapter number 9. Can y'all hear me okay? No? What's the matter with it, Brother James? You hear me? Mark chapter number 9 and then Luke chapter number 22. If this don't straighten out pretty quick, I'll just grab that handheld. Say amen when you get to Mark chapter number 9.
Amen.
It's still not working right, is it? Is it coming out? Yeah, that's true. How about back there, Dwayne? Mark chapter number 9. How about that? Can you hear me now? Amen. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 33. We'll get a couple of verses of scripture tonight. Probably not a normal Sunday night kind of message. Maybe more of a Wednesday night kind of message. But I was thinking about this yesterday. I'd had this thought for some time, and the Lord just brought it back to my remembrance yesterday as we were out on visitation. And I thought maybe I'd give you something tonight that'd help you a little bit. As we serve God, we've got to be careful that we stay in a state of humility. If we're not careful, we will lift ourselves up. Did you know it's okay for other people to brag on you, but it's not okay for you to brag on yourself? Amen? If you need to be lifted up, you don't have to do it. Somebody else will. If you deserve to be praised or bragged on, you won't have to do it. But if you have to do it, you don't deserve it. Well, okay, I'll just make a couple of statements right there. If you have to toot your own horn, how many of you know people who love to toot their own horn? I have a preacher who calls me occasionally. He used to call me every Monday morning and re-preach his sermon to me on the phone. Drove me nuts. I don't have an hour on Monday morning for you to call and tell me how hot your sermon was yesterday. Yeah. Evidently, nobody stopped at the door and told him how great it was. One day, he got done. He said, "What do you think about that?" I said, "Well, I guess that's one of those deals you kind of had to been there." Amen. Yeah. Y'all all right? And he's a good guy, don't get me wrong, but he just loves to toot his own horn. He loves to talk about what he's done and where he's been and blah, 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 blah. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up into that. In Mark chapter 9, in verse number 33, I believe it's 33. Yes, sir. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 33. The Bible said, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" Now, by the way, stop right there. The Lord comes in. The disciples have been having a discussion among themselves. The Lord wasn't present. He wasn't there when the conversation took place. They were in a debate or a dispute, he said. And when the Lord comes in, he said, "What y'all been talking about?" "Oh, you know, we just can't." "No, what y'all been arguing about? What is this thing you've been disputing about?" Can you imagine how their hearts felt? Do you know you can't get away with anything with God? He's got your number. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's got you. He's got your number. Amen. Verse number 34, they said, but they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves, watch this, who should be what? Say it with me. The greatest. Everybody wants to be the big shot, right? The Bible said, "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be least of all," and watch this, "and what? Servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me." Go to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22, and then keep your Bibles out. simple little thought tonight. I titled the message, Wrong Motives, but maybe we could call it, Who Do You Think You Are? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Who do you think you are? You know, you need to take a consideration of who you are. And just who do you think you are tonight? If you're with this crowd that runs around saying, this ain't fair, I don't deserve that, you need to take a fresh account of who you really are. We don't deserve to live. But by the grace of God, we're here tonight. Amen. Luke chapter number 22, and look at verse number 24. Luke 22 and verse number 24. The Bible said, and there was also a what? Say this. Strife among them. Among who? It's the disciples. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that setteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that setteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. Several times they've had this problem rise up. Several times this situation has come up. And the Lord's telling them every time, you've got your thought in the wrong place. You're worried about the wrong thing. Amen? You're worried about who's in charge. You're worried about, and not so much who's in charge, but who's the greatest, who's better. Now listen, I'm as competitive as anybody ever lived. If we go fishing together, Brother Jason wants to go fishing. If we go fishing together, I'm not just there to catch fish. I'm there to catch more and bigger. Amen. I have a competitive nature. I'm not against a little competition, giving away prizes and things like that. But I am against somebody thinking they're better or greater than someone else. Are you listening to me? What happens is God begins to use us, and we get to see some success like we did yesterday, and boy, we begin to think we're something. And we begin to think it's us that's doing the work and not God through us. It ought to humble us. When we stood on that playground this morning, I got waiting to go into that gym, and I heard those kids singing. I got so emotionally stirred. I didn't even know what words that was fixing to come out of my mouth. I forgot the horse and left him outside. I mean, I was tore up. You know what happened? I heard those kids singing. And my mind went from, boy, I'm fixing to go in there and preach a great message to these kids. When I heard them babies singing, I wanted to crawl under a rock somewhere. And I thought, God, what an honor and what a privilege. But not only that, what a responsibility. What a responsibility I have to have my heart where it ought to be when I walk through that door. When I walked through the door of that gym to preach to those children this morning, my heart was more concerned about me than it was them. Lord, help me to have the right spirit. God, help me to have the right attitude. God, help me to have the right words to say. If we're not careful, we'll get haughty and think we deserve more than we're getting. Are we okay tonight? That's what was going on. Listen to me carefully. If that went on with James and John and Peter and Thomas, if that went on with Matthew, with Mark, and with Luke. Listen, I just named some men who wrote a portion of your Bible. Which part did you write? If that kind of spirit was able to get inside their hearts, who do we think we are to go, oh yeah, bro, that won't never happen to me, amen, preach to everybody else. No, I'm preaching to me, and I'm preaching to you. If we're not careful, we'll get to thinking we are more than what we are. We okay? There is a danger in Christianity, and that danger, the Bible teaches, I do believe, that the danger is wanting to be considered great. Amen. There was a church in Texas. I attended one time years ago for a special conference they were having. And in that conference, by being there and filling out information, they had my phone number and my address. They have a soul-winning clinic every year. And every year after that, they would call me on the phone wanting to know how many we baptized, how many we had saved, how many walked the aisle, blah, blah, blah. You know what they were doing? They were keeping score. The lady called and said, how many did you baptize? I said, I'm not 100% sure. She said, don't you keep records? I said, yeah, we got a fellow at church who writes that stuff down. She said, you're the pastor and you don't know how many you baptized? I said, I ain't got a clue. She said, how many was saved? I said, I couldn't tell you. She said, don't you want us to report? I said, no, ma'am. She said, why not? I said, the records are not kept here. The record book is not here. I don't have to keep a record. Somebody already is. Amen. The record is being kept in heaven. That's not my problem. My problem is to put something on the record. Amen. The biggest this. The biggest that. Amen. If we're not careful, now listen, when we have five people saved, I want to know if we had five saved. But I'm not going to be disappointed because it wasn't 10. I'll be honest with you, I was praying for 10 this morning. I really was. We had 25 new first-time riders, first time I ever rode the bus. But I was praying, God, let 10 people get saved. One got saved. I left here rejoicing. Amen. I left here rejoicing. I'm not going to get disappointed over what did happen to the point where I forget to rejoice about what did happen. Amen. So there is a danger in Christianity that we get to the place of wanting to be considered great, wanting people to think more of us than what we know in our heart we really are. Amen. And Jesus is trying to get through to his disciples that what they're asking is the wrong thing. Several times they argued among themselves concerning who would be the greatest. Who would be the greatest? Let me ask you a question. Why does it matter? Y'all okay? Why does it matter? We are trained by society to keep records, statistics. It amazes me to watch. I love to watch baseball. I love to play ball. But you ever notice the sportscasters? They can tell you every one of them guys' batting averages, how many times they've struck out against this pitcher. Man, you need a life. If all you've got to do is sit around and try to figure out how many times this guy has struck this guy out while at his home stadium and how many times he struck him out on the road. You know what I mean? We're too statistic driven. We're too numbers driven. Amen. Just hit the ball. Amen. Listen, today we are tempted to ask the same question the disciples did. Who's the greatest soul winner? Who's the greatest bus captain? Are you listening? Several weeks ago, I said something to Brother Robbie about giving the bus award, and we're still going to award and recognize and show appreciation for our people. I don't care which bus has the most. I do not care which bus has the most. Let me say it again. I do not care which bus has the most. I don't care which bus has the least. We did that loser a thing. I got news for you. There ain't a loser in the crowd. Amen. There's not a loser in the bunch, man. I say, bless God, if you go out and knock on doors on Saturday and you crawl on a bus early on Sunday morning while the rest of our lazy behinds are laying in the bed and you go out there and you're expecting to pick up 50 kids but you only get 12 and they hear the gospel of Christ, I say you're a winner. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Lord convicted me about it. I mean, flat out convicted me about it. Yesterday we were out on visitation. This is our thought process, and this is what America perceives from the church. We were out visiting, talking to that lady that we went to her house. Brother Jason, if I remember right, she said something that led us to think she couldn't believe the pastor was out actually talking to her. They get the idea that they're so high and mighty that they can't come down from their lofty platform and touch the people. Amen. Listen to me carefully. I can tell you Baptist churches, B-A-P-T-I-S-T, Baptist churches, where the pastor charges $40 per hour to counsel with his people. That's one way I could cut out my counseling. That'd stop a whole lot of late Sunday nights, wouldn't it? That'd be $80. How big a problem you got? You got an hour problem or a two-hour problem? It'd pay in advance, amen? You know how sickening that is? Somebody said, what do you charge to do a wedding? Well, I don't marry anybody but our people, so I don't charge. I'll take whatever God lays on your heart. Amen. I told one couple, they said, Brother Eddie, how much do you usually get for doing a wedding? I said, at least $2,000. They didn't know what to do. They went, I said, I'm kidding. It's just $1,500. Amen. Seriously. Seriously. Me and my wife's having a problem. We go to our man of God and he's telling us it's going to be $40. Part of the reason we're fighting is because we're broke. Seriously? We all right tonight? Who's the greatest soul winner? Who's the best bus captain? Every one of our bus captains are the best bus captain. We ought to strive to do our best. But they all get high regard and high honor in my book. Amen. I don't care. I don't care how much you know about the bus ministry. You're going to struggle. Amen. I make a wrong statement about Brother Freddie a lot of times, and I should not do that. By the way, if you got a little extra and you want to be a blessing, I think tomorrow's his birthday, and he's mad at me now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brother Freddie. Happy birthday to you. That was inspired of God, brother, because it was during the sermon. Amen. I just said your name and it clicked in my head. He got a birthday coming up. Amen. And what? Miss Shelley's this Friday. Hallelujah. Send him to Honolulu or somewhere. Amen. Just preach. I'm going to. I am preaching. Listen, a lot of times when I'm talking about Brother Freddie teaching the Bible, I'll make this statement. And the Lord brought it to my memory while I was preparing this message. Oftentimes, I'll say Brother Freddie Young is one of the greatest Bible teachers I've ever heard. Wrong statement. Wrong statement. I should say maybe he's one of the best or one of the most qualified. Or one of the most able. But he's not greater than Brother Charles. Brother Charles is not greater than him. Are you okay? We all right? That's just our mentality, how we stack people up. Let's quit stacking people up. I heard a song years ago that said that the ground is level at Calvary. In other words, there's no big I's and no little U's. Amen. And what we do is we harm each other. If I'm not careful, I can say so much about you and brag about you so much that you start believing it. I have had people introduce me when I'm preaching in a meeting out across the country somewhere, and the pastor gets up and takes 10 minutes to introduce me. And I'm sitting there and I get to the point, man, I want to hear me preach too. This is going to be great.
I didn't know I was that awesome.
Amen. We hear all that stuff and we start to believe in it. Amen. We okay? Who's the greatest Sunday school teacher? Who cares as long as the Bible's taught? Who cares as long as the Bible's taught? Who's the best children's church worker? Who cares if boys and girls get saved?
Amen.
Amen. Who cares who wins? Who cares who gets the credit? As long as we win the game, man.
Amen.
Amen. We okay? Who's the greatest preacher? Somebody, I had a preacher that I admire and respect. Every time I see him, he gets on to me because I don't come to the local preacher's meeting. I have a problem with it. It's a preaching competition. That's what it seems like to be. If they met and said, hey, brothers, I've got this problem in my church. Can y'all help me how I might handle this or how we might get out of this situation or we're struggling in this area. Could y'all pray for us? It's not that kind of meeting. They meet, they sing a couple of hymns, and they start calling preachers from the floor. And I like to hear preaching as much as anybody. Then they go out to eat and sit and complain about one of those churches. Now, that was my experience. It may not always be that way. Amen. We okay? Who's the greatest preacher? They all are. Yeah, the Lord, Brother Tony said. They all are. If they're God's men, they're trying to serve God. They deserve the same respect as any of them. I know preachers who don't dress as nice as some preachers. Amen. I never forget the first time I met Peter Ruttman. I never forget it. He had on, y'all remember watching Andy Griffin? I promise you that's who I thought of when I saw him. Remember Andy Griffin always wore those boots that come up about right there, kind of, not really cowboy boots, but slip-on boots. And Andy Griffin always had one leg, kind of pants leg hanging up on it like that. Old Dr. Upman standing there, one leg out of his boot like that, and his old tie was about half sideways. He just, his coat was crooked, you know, just a disheveled, you know. You would never think. This man has written thousands of books, and God only knows what all he's done. And the Holy Spirit said, it ain't the suit. It's not whether or not his top button's buttoned. It's not whether or not his tie's crooked. It's what's in his heart and what I've put in his mind. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll judge people for the wrong reason. Amen. Listen, just making some statements tonight that I hope will help you. Don't worry about being the greatest. Don't worry about being the greatest. Jesus made it very clear that that's not the question we ought to be concerned about. Amen? Too many people trying to strive to be greatest. Listen, greatness should never even be our goal. I know you're going to have to let that soak just a minute. Greatness should never be our goal. Somebody said, yeah, do your best. I said, greatness and your best are two different things. Your best is what you are personally in your heart between you and God. Greatness is what you're perceived as, amen, in the eyes of the public. Let's see, in Luke chapter 22, let's look at it again. In Luke chapter 22 and verse number 24, there was a strife among them. We've done read that. Which should be accounted to the greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that excuse or exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doeth it. Now here's the kicker in verse number 27. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. If anybody in that little meeting had room to say, well, I can settle this question. I can settle this for you right now, boys. I'm the greatest. That's what I would have done. I would have said, do y'all realize who you're eating with? Do y'all realize who you have come to McDonald's with today? Y'all talking about greatest in my good night, boys. Y'all don't deserve to carry my Bible. You've preached a few sermons. I created the heavens and the earth. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have nothing to preach about. Y'all all right? You know what he said? He said, I consider myself a servant. He said, you're worrying about what people think about us, whether or not you're great or not. He said, won't you just try on being a servant for a change? Amen? Our goal should be serving and helping others. Let me say it again. Our goal should be serving and helping others. Somebody said, I want to be a pastor. Oh, I want to be a pastor. Start pastoring your Sunday school class. If you won't pastor them, you ain't going to pastor something on a larger scale. Amen. You okay? Start pastoring your bus route. Y'all all right? Brother Alan Parker was one of the best at that with these teenagers that I've ever seen. If one of them teenagers' parents, somebody's in the hospital, Brother Alan goes and sees them. Amen. He's preached bus kids' funerals. Yes, sir. You know what he's doing? He's pastoring his class. He's pastoring his group. He's caring for them. Are we okay tonight? This world is motivated by titles. Are you listening to me? Let's take a deacon. Let's take a deacon. Let's take Brother Tommy. He's the closest to me. Brother Tommy's out visiting. I'm not saying he said this or does say this, but here's the way most people do. Hey, how are you doing today? I'm a deacon down at Happy Valley Baptist Church. Why'd you have to tell him you're a deacon? Amen. Why would you have to tell them? You know what I'm saying? We're impressed with those titles. Are you listening? There's a show that comes on late on Sunday nights when we go home from church. It's called Undercover Boss. It's these high-up multi-millionaires and these huge corporations. I mean, bro, they dye their hair, put on wigs, grow beards, and they go undercover in their company. That's a dirty, rotten trick, amen? And people don't realize they're working alongside the boss, and he's acting like a new employee, and he's asking questions about the company, and some of them run it in the ground. And then at the end, they come in and he ain't wearing no wig. And he says, do you know who I am? Amen. Sometimes we'll just come down off our high horse. And in every case, on that show, the boss is the one who is always changed. One guy got so tore up by hearing a young mother's story on the job, they're not supposed to reveal who they really are to the end of the show. He's out there to see what's wrong with his company. He breaks down crying and says, I'm not supposed to do this, and he pulls the wig off. She was telling him how the CEOs and the high-ups could care less what's going on in the little peon's life, and it tore him out of frame, buddy, and he pulled that wig off, and he said, I am the CEO. And from henceforth, I will take an interest in your life. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we forget about the title and remember what God put us here for. It might be amazing what we'd see God. It done me a world of good to see that little boy standing in his door in his underwear yesterday and remember that just 42 years ago, that was me. That was me in a broken home. That was me in a bad situation. That was me with a single mom trying to raise two little old bitty kids by herself. That was me who needed somebody to reach out. And the least I can do, bless God, is go back and reach out to somebody else. Concerned about titles. Who cares about a title? Let me ask you something. If we stripped your title away, would you keep caring about people? I wish we could do this thing without titles. But the Lord set this up. We have to have leadership. We have to have responsibility, and we have to have accountability. Amen. If we're not careful, that title will go to our head. Don't worry about the title. I preached a message one time, and in that message, I made this statement. Don't seek for a great title. Make the title you have great. Amen. Does that make sense? Don't seek for a big position. Make the position you got big. Be happy with where God's put you. Don't worry about the title. Don't worry about who knows you're in charge of this and who knows you're in charge of that. Just do the job. Yes, sir. Amen. And by the way, if you're saved, you are a servant. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. So that's easy for you to say. No, it's harder for me to say than it is anybody else. I'm the pastor. I preach all over the country. It's easy for me to get swelled up in myself and thinking I'm above something. I ain't above nothing, Jack. I'm just a servant. Amen. Let me carry on. Listen, who was the greatest? Turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Let me ask you a question tonight. Who, in your opinion, and I want everybody to answer me together, in your opinion, who is the greatest person to ever walk planet Earth? That's exactly right. The greatest person to ever walk the planet was the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen carefully. Look at Philippians chapter number. I lost it. 2. I'm in 2 Corinthians. That's why it don't look right. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 6. The Bible said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Who's this talking about? Back up to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Go back to verse number 7. But made himself of no what? Reputation. In other words, a nobody. And took upon himself the form of a what? A servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a what? A man, he did what? Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under earth, and everything should every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. Wow. I don't know many people who truly possess that attitude. Very few. He humbled himself. He didn't have to have somebody do it for him. And by the way, in life, when you get real full of yourself, sooner or later, somebody will do it for you. Amen. Might be a judge. Might be Brother Daniel. Amen. By the way, if he pulls you over and gives you a ticket, don't you come crying to me. If you got one, you deserved it. Amen. Hallelujah. I wouldn't care if he set up right across. Yeah, I would. Never mind. We'll leave that alone. Love you, Brother Daniel. You go that way, I'll go that way, okay? He's going to make me practice what I preach for long. I just know it. Listen. He humbled himself. It wasn't the police who had to do it. It wasn't the trial that he faced. He was humble before he got there. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. I would say he was a very humble man. And the Bible also said he was obedient. Wow. Obedient to who? There was only one above him. That was the Father. But then in this situation, we have to deal with obedience here on the earth. If you're disobedient to your boss, you're being disobedient to God. Amen. If you're disobedient to your kids, parents, you're being children. Could not. Children, if you're disobedient to your parents, you're disobeying the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you disobey your pastor, you're disobeying the Lord. Hey, I don't run rule over your life, but I am your spiritual overseer. Amen. We okay tonight? Jesus did not come to this earth to make a name for himself. He said he came. He gave his whole mission. He said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. Amen. Amen. He came to die, to suffer, to be falsely accused, to be spit upon. Amen. You know what we need tonight in our church and churches all across this country? We need some people just get real. Amen. Just get real. Climb down off your high horse. Quit thinking you're all that. You know why sometimes why serving God becomes such a duty? Such a chore? Because you think it's about you. Amen. Brother, the Lord done something in my heart this weekend. Yesterday and today. I hadn't been humbled in a long time like I was yesterday when I saw that little boy. I was trying to tell Brother Jerry and him about it. I couldn't even control myself. When I heard those kids start singing in that gym this morning, I don't know, it was just like a come down, come down, come down. That's a constant thing that we have to watch. It's a constant thing. Amen. And if I need it, you need it. And it's not your job to go around and humble everybody else. Do you listen to me? It's your job to humble you. And if you'll humble you, you won't want to humble nobody else. We okay? We need to get real. Let's just stay after the bus kids. Let's just stay after sinners. Hey, yesterday was not a big visitation. Everybody said, we're having a big visitation. No, we're not. We want that to become our normal visitation. Next month, Lord willing, we're going to have a big visitation. We want to go after every bus kid's parents and have a parents' day and have a meal for them out here. That'll be a big visitation. That'll be one maybe we'll hit a couple of nights through the week and then hard on Saturday, something to that effect. Y'all okay? We had 55 on visitation this Saturday. You know what I want next Saturday? 60. I'd like to see you get excited about it and grow. If you'll quit worrying about position, if you'll quit worrying about prestige, quit worrying about power, and start worrying about souls, we'll get our heart right and we'll want to be there. But the weather's so pretty. I know, man, that's the perfect opportunity. They're out in the yard. We ain't got to knock on the door. They're in the streets and the subdivisions. I mean, man, they're right there. Amen. Do you know what I noticed yesterday? I prayed yesterday morning. I said, Lord, don't let us face any real opposition today. And I don't know about any of the other guys, but me and Jason and Tina, we visited together. I don't know how many houses we hit, 50, 60. I don't know how many it was. You know how many people slammed the door in our face? Not one. We had one that they were in the house and we could hear them. But they didn't come to the door. We just left tracking the door. Nobody cussed us out. Nobody was mean. Everybody was friendly. Everybody was nice. Amen. What a blessing. We had a good time. We had a good time. So listen, let's stay after it. Let's stay after it. Let's not worry about whether or not we get lifted up. What if we don't? What if we don't ever get lifted up? What if we stay right where you are? Amen. Just a faithful church member and a prayer warrior. Amen. Somebody that'll show up and go on visitation, give a kid some candy and a gospel tract. What if that's all God ever does with you? Are you okay? Amen. Are you okay with that? Hey, listen, man, I got saved. I've told you a million times, I wore overalls to church. Every Sunday, I wore overalls. Wolverine boots. Can of Copenhagen in the bib of my overalls. I started driving that bus, church bus, and that's how, you know what? I was happy. I didn't think I deserved to do anything more than drive that bus. When I saw those little boys and girls climb up on that bus, hey, Brother Eddie, hey, Brother Eddie, hey, for Sunday morning, boy, my heart just. Amen. And I thought, this is it, man. Amen. I never dreamed God had more. Yes, sir. I don't think you'll ever see the more till you're happy where you are. Amen. I don't think God will ever raise you up beyond where you are. Amen, till you get really satisfied with where you are. Staying right where you are for the rest of your life. Could you do? Would you be all right? Be all right? Some of you have been called to preach. What if you never get to pastor? Will you be all right with that? What if God wants you to stay right here? Help Brother Ryan with a nursing home. Help with the bus ministry. You all right? Something to think about, isn't it? Let me give you a couple more little thoughts right quick. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Here's where we get in trouble. We get in trouble spiritually concerning these things of greatness and thinking more of ourselves than we ought to think. The Bible warns us against that. When we start comparing ourselves to other people. Amen. I used to tell my wife all the time, at least I ain't like so-and-so's husband. And she'd say the same thing, I ain't married to him. Yeah. Amen. You ever have your kids say, well, at least I ain't like so-and-so? They're not your kids. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, be careful with comparing yourselves to other people. Verse number 12, we doing okay on time? 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, watch this, are not wise. Wow. You know what he's saying? Stop comparing yourselves to one another. Amen. Quit comparing. You don't compare yourself to somebody? Compare yourself to the Lord. See how that works out for you. Amen. The only way we can judge greatness, this is the only way you can do it. The only way you can judge personal greatness and say he's greater than him, the only way you can do that is by making comparisons. Is that right? That's the only way you can do it. And the Lord just said, don't do that. It's not wise. Why is it not wise? Well, you get to thinking you're Superman. Everybody bragged on Tiger Woods to the point he thought he could get away with anything. Amen. Elvis was called the king so long that he destroyed himself. He self-destructed. Amen. Michael Jackson was lifted to such highs that he self-destructed. Amen. Amen. It's not good. The Lord said it's not wise. Let me give you two reasons it's not wise. I'm going to wrap this up as quickly as I can. I'm going to give you two reasons it's not wise to compare yourself to somebody else. One of two things are going to happen. I remember as a young pastor, I think it was my first or second year at Happy Valley. I believe it was my first year. I went for my first time to pastor school at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. You remember that? When I left that meeting, I wanted to go home and tell Happy Valley, you need a pastor. I went to the largest independent Baptist church in the world. They ran 200 buses. 200. On a big day, they would bring in 20,000 people. And they got up one after the other and started talking about all these ministries and what all they were doing. And I started comparing myself to that. And you know what happened? Instead of going to pastor school and getting fired up about doing something for God, I got discouraged. Amen. Have you ever something you enjoy doing, got around somebody who could do it a whole lot better? It would be like going to batting practice with, what's the young black boy's name? Hayward, Jason Hayward. Can you imagine? After he bats, I ain't getting off the bench. Are you listening to me? There's two things that can happen when we compare ourselves to other people. First thing that can happen is you can get discouraged. Or you can compare yourself to somebody that you're better at something than they are, and then you swell up with pride. Why? Because you're better than them. Are we okay? If we're not careful, that's what happens. When you compare yourself to other people, it does that every single time. Girls, look at me. I noticed this as a very young man. I'm very observant. I noticed in school that when a girl got up from her desk and walked across the room, more girls looked at her than boys did. Y'all all right? And I thought, they're checking her out. Y'all all right? What are they checking out? They're checking out what she's wearing. They're checking out how she looks. And one of two things is going to happen. I'm hotter than she is. Hey, man. Or I can't believe she's wearing that. We all right? They're comparing themselves to them. Brother Jason, I promise I didn't check you out when you got here tonight. Amen. But we're all prone to do that. We all right tonight? When you do that, you're either going to get discouraged or you're going to get proud. And either one of those can destroy you. Sure enough, pride. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit. There's some haughty spirits around here. No, you better let the air out of that thing. Amen. Greatness is only found in one place. That is in the perfect will of God. It is the only place God is found, or perfect, or greatness is found. Amen? Amen. If it's God's will for you to work on an assembly line, or if it's God's will for you to cut grass, or lay carpet, or send jokes on an email. That's all I know that you do. That's whatever it is, if that's God's will for you to do that, to tithe and be faithful and help serve through your church, if that's God's will for your life, be content. Amen. That's greatness. Be careful of this always wanting more, 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 more. And I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you to find what God's will is for your life and be happy with it. Amen. Do you know I've been offered bigger churches than this one? Seriously. I've been offered bigger churches, way bigger salaries. These churches in our area are smaller than ours. Preacher makes more than I do. I don't care. I had one guy got mad at me. Church in 10 minutes from Disney World. I'm talking about bass fishing heaven. Had a 16-piece orchestra, I think, something like that. Big orchestra. I mean, I'm talking about uptown nice. They said, would you pray about it? I said, no, I don't need to pray about it. They said, you wouldn't at least pray about it? I said, I don't have to pray about it when I already know what God's will for my life is. I don't have to say, God, is it your will that I go to Florida? If it's his will, he'll show me. And he'll tell me. Amen. Y'all all right? Amen, amen. I consider what I'm doing to be the greatest thing I can do in my life. Amen. And I'm not going to sit around and compare myself to Brother Swofford down the street, Brother Chris Simpson across town, or Jack Scott in Indiana. Y'all all right? I'm not going to go to, I preach in a lot, churches a lot larger than ours. I preach in churches a lot smaller than ours. I don't come home from those great big churches disappointed. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Amen. Amen. And if it, I'll be honest with you, I want to see people saved. I really do. I really do. But if it's God's will that we never get much bigger than this, I'm all right. I'm all right. That don't mean we're going to get to a certain point and go, it's God's will for us not to grow. No, we're going to keep going after him. Amen. But if we don't ever get to build a new building, me and Brother Fred's talking about putting a new building right here. When we outgrow it, tear this one down and build onto that. Good idea. Good idea. If we don't ever get to do that, I don't care. Maybe the next generation will. Amen. You're all right. Listen. Is the pastor greater than the assistant pastor? Is the city preacher better than the country preacher? Who's greater, the pastor or the evangelist? Neither. We're all just servants. Amen. Listen, real greatness is serving people in the will of God. The only difference is our level of responsibilities. Do you understand that? We're all on the same level. We just got different responsibilities. Amen. All right? Listen, and you're only losing. I mean, boy, we got this big thing. People go around, loser. Listen, you're only losing. You're only losing when you're out of the will of God, sitting on the sidelines, watching the work of God go on. Amen. Can I say that again? You're only losing when you're out of the will of God, sitting on the sideline, watching while the work of God goes on. Amen. That's the message tonight. Who do you think you are? Somebody asked me the other day, I was on the road preaching. And they said, Brother Eddie, tell me something your church needs. I said, a better pastor. He laughed. He said, yeah, right. He said, you wouldn't leave that church? I said, that ain't what I'm talking about. I said, they need a better pastor. I was talking about me being better, not you getting somebody else. Y'all okay? By the way, more than we need the bills paid, you need a better pastor. And I'm still working on that. It's a constant battle. You know what I need as a pastor? I need better members. Better leaders. I'm not saying go out here and recruit them from somewhere else. I'm talking about you being better. You being better with your attitude. You being better with your spirit, your humility. It works both ways. You say you're scolding us, preacher. No, I'm not. I'm helping us. I'm helping us. Who's going to be the greatest? Jesus said, those that are willing to be the least. Those that will just settle in and consider themselves a servant right along with everybody else. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. I hope there was some help in that for you somewhere. I hope you got something tonight. I know I got something in preparing for it. So I hope maybe you got something in hearing it. Miss Janice, if you'd come. Let's take some time. If you need to pray, you come. Maybe you'll just come tell the Lord, Lord, help me with my attitude. Help me to realize that if I'm anything, it's only because of you. Or to be in jail, in hell, or out on bail. One of the three, if I had what I deserve. Thank you, Lord, for letting me do something. Amen. Just sing a verse. Sister Janice, whatever's on your heart, you mind the Lord tonight.